This is the William Hill Golf Podcast. Go to news.williamhill.com for all the podcasts or search William Hill Radio on iTunes.
Hello, everyone. Good to have you with us. Welcome along to the William Hill Golf Podcast. Dave Kellner here in the studio alongside Mike Grenham to have a look ahead to the Omega European Masters on the European Tour and the BMW Championship, the third event of the FedEx Cup playoffs on the US PGA Tour. But first, as ever, we will reflect on the happenings over the last few days. And we'll start off with the Deutsche Bank Championship, won in the end by Chris Kirk. But Mike, great pick with Jeff Ogilvy at 150-1. Went close to winning the event, traded as favourite on the Sunday, eventually beaten by two strokes.
Yeah, a little bit unfortunate that he didn't win, Dave. When they get that at that kind of price, when they get that close, you want them to win, don't you, as we always say. If he could have just made birdie on the last, I think it might have put a bit of pressure on Kirk and we might have got in a playoff. It was very interesting for a while. Kirk rode his luck without any question, putted well, but had a number of massive bits of fortune, I thought. Was hitting the ball pretty poorly. Despite Claude Harmon saying he was hitting it well, I'm not as big a fan of him as everyone else seems to be.
I think he's great, mate. I'm surprised you say that.
I thought he was talking nonsense for a lot of Sunday night. It was a close call, and it'd have been nice if he'd have won.
Shame he couldn't cross the line, but good each way selection, 150-1 full place there. And Henny Otto won the Italian as well, a man that you mentioned on the podcast last week.
Yeah, it's been a frustrating couple of weeks really, Dave, because Mahan got away the week before, Otto this week, and then Ogilvy going very close at a big price. Yeah, could be better.
And on the Ryder Cup side of things, the picks being made by both Paul McGinley and Tom Watson. Paul McGinley has picked Stephen Gallagher, Ian Poulter and Lee Westwood as his three selections. No real surprise there, Mike?
No, not a surprise, I wouldn't say. I'm not so sure I'd have picked Gallagher myself if it wasn't in Scotland.
Yeah.
I maybe played a big part in his pick. Leaving out Luke Donald is a risk, given his very good record in the Ryder Cup. I think I would have picked him myself, but I don't know. What would you have done?
Yeah, I'd have picked Donald. I'd have had Donald in over Westwood and Gallagher, if I'm being totally honest. I think putting wins match play matches, and yeah. He's a better putter than Westwood, most definitely. I think Gallagher has been.
I'm a better putter than Westwood.
I think Gallagher has been included because it's in Scotland.
Which I understand. I do get that. It galvanises the crowd and all that. But you Luke Donald, you probably don't get it.
No, you forget that Donald was world number one a few years ago and has won, has been on the winning team in all four Ryder Cup appearances. Won a couple of Walker Cups as well. So I would have gone with Donald in there. What do you make to Tom Watson's picks? Keegan Bradley, Hunter Mahan and Webb Simpson, his picks for the US?
Yeah, nothing surprising in that. Pretty predictable. Who missed out? Haas, and who else would have been in the running? Can't think of anyone really.
Chris
Kirk, maybe. No.
They're calling themselves the Redeem Team now, which is all a little bit Partridge, to be honest.
Right.
That Tom Watson, his picks, the length of that program was just incredible. It just went on for absolutely ever. I didn't watch it. I was looking through it on Twitter to see when he was going to make his second and third picks. And the best tweet I saw that was that even Ben Crane reckons this is taking a long time. It did seem to last forever, but he's gone with Bradley, Mahan and Simpson. Europe overwhelming favourites at the moment, Mike. But maybe... That price has got to a crazy
price
now. To lift the trophy, Europe in the betting at 4-9, the States 13-8. So that's very strong.
That's without the draw.
Without the draw, that market, yeah.
I'd have to say that America are pretty good value at 13-8 there. There's not a lot in it, there never is. Yeah, that's an interesting price. But we'll just have to see how players play in the next couple of weeks and before making too much a view on that one, but there's not a lot in the teams. There never is. It's very competitive, and yeah, we'll have to have a look.
And let's get stuck into this week's tournaments then, starting with the Omega European Masters on the European Tour. Jamie Donaldson is the 10-1 favourite for the event. Victor Dubuis on 12-1. Thomas Bjorn is 14s. Miguel Angel Jimenez, who was announced as a vice captain in the Ryder Cup, 20-1. Bernd Wiesberger, 25s. Brooks Koepka is 25-1. Danny Willett, 25-1. Robert Carlsen, 25s. And 33s and bigger the rest. Lovely venue this, Mike, to watch and no doubt play golf as well. Returns to Crans-sur-Sierre. And this venue holds the distinction of being the only tour stop to hold a European Tour event in every season since 1972. Stunning golf course, offering views of the mountains in Crans. And it's a course, Mike, that demands low scoring as well. Thomas Bjorn won with a 20 under par total here last year and won with that same total in 2011. Taking advantage of the short par fours vital, and the par has changed slightly as well. The par 5/14th has become a par 4, so obviously European Tour maybe want to get a little bit of a handle on the scoring.
Yeah, but it's still usually a bit of a birdie fest, isn't it?
Yep.
And low scoring, and yeah, it's a lovely event to watch, very pleasing on the eye. An interesting course with drivable par fours. I know they're messing around with that a little bit on the par five, as you've just suggested, but it still should be. It's really is who's going low, isn't it? It will win this week, and I think experience is quite important here, Dave. I think it's a place that's at altitude. You know, knowing how that affects your game is important. Having played around here before. He's a massive factor. The intensity guys winning, playing here and well year in, year out, and same faces featuring. So I'd suggest that's the thing to look for.
Okay, key attributes, experience, and maybe greens in reg. Scrambling's important as well. These greens are very tricky, aren't
they're
they,
small.
Mike?
They are small greens and tricky greens. So that yet again, knowing them helps.
A couple of picks for me.
I've got three, so shall I go first?
Yes, please do.
My first pick is Robert Carlsen, who's been in exceptional form this season, really bouncing back after a fairly moderate time on tour. Past winner at this course, hasn't played here in recent years, but obviously goes without saying that he knows what it takes to win here. Just needs to bounce back after a miscut in the Wyndham, I think was his last turnout in America. But in Europe, he's been in ever such good form. And a very solid guy off the tee, putting very well this year as well, which is obviously going to be very important. He's top 10 for putts, greens in regulation. I think Robert Carlsen at 25s, I'd have liked a little bit bigger than 25-1. I think he's been fairly popular in the market, so I did think about that. I must say 25s is about the lowest I would want to go at him, in truth. 28, 33 would have been much better, obviously, but I do think he's due a win, Carlsen. His form has been exceptionally good, and hard to keep him out of a place, I think, this week.
Robert Carlsen 25-1. My headline selection here, Bradley Dredge at 40-1, a man that's been out in the wilderness for the last couple of years, is a two-time European Tour winner, and he's shown he can, or I'm giving him a chance to build on that form shown in weaker events in recent weeks in Denmark and in the Czech Republic. Finished second on both those starts, striking the ball very well at the moment and putting well as well. And his last win came here in 2006. Good form at the track, finished fourth in 2002, third in 2007, and second in 2009. Admittedly, step up in class this week for Dredge. Comes into this under the radar somewhat. 40-1, I thought he was worth a play. So I'll go a point each way on Bradley Dredge as my headline pick.
Yeah, I didn't really have a headline pick in this. All three of them I fancy about the same, so Carlsen is no stronger than the next two. But my second pick is Matteo Manassero. I think you picked him last week, didn't you, when he disappointed in his home tournament in Italy. A 54th there wasn't what the doctor ordered. But I just think this course is tailor-made for Manassero. He was third here in 2010, hasn't done so much since then. 18th, 34th, 34th. But again, not awful finishes, but for a man of his ability, I think you should be looking for better than that. He really has to kick on now, Manicero. He's not made the Ryder Cup team. He's good enough to have made it, but he's just not quite delivering the goods on the course. I'm just have a little bit of a gut feeling that this may be a week that he starts to transform his game a bit. He can win out of the blue. Was playing reasonably well in Europe until he went to the PGA where he missed the cut, but he did finish top 20 in the Scottish and the Hoylake Open. So a good putter normally, not as good this year, but can certainly go low once he gets his eye in. So Manicero at 40, so just ability-wise, he's better than... Right, I think he's better than all of these, to be truthful. So he just needs to do it on the course, though. He really, now is the time for him to shed this promising young star tag and get on with winning more and more events.
Matteo Manicero in the betting at 4-0, 40-1. My second pick, 40-1 as well here. Tommy Fleetwood is my second selection at 40s. He's got all the attributes to be successful at this venue, and he showed that with the last couple of performances here. Finished 19th in 2012 and 9th here last year. And he's returned to form in the last two events as well, finishing tied 5th in the Czech Republic, tied 24th in Italy. Accurate player, a decent scrambling and greens in regulation stats on tour this season. And he'd have actually been a lot closer last year with a decent putting week, putted averagely when finishing 9th last year. So I'll go with Tommy Fleetwood as my second pick at 40-1.
Okie dokie. My final pick is Marcel CM, who has had his wife had a baby in the middle of the year, so a little bit of disruption there, but I'm hoping that a solid effort in Italy last week where he finished 35th, he can build on that. Some good form here at Crans. He was 12th in 2011 and 14th in 2012. Again, been putting pretty decently this year, top 40 for putting on greens in reg on the European Tour. CM is a player who, when he wins, they tend to be low scoring events. His wins are normally in events where you have to be around about the 20 under mark, which is what you'll need this week. Don't forget, this guy finished 12th in the US Open not so long ago, so he's a quality player, and at 52-1 on a course where he's shown good form. If his focus is back after the birth of his child, I expect Marcel CM could play very well this week.
What did you make to the head of the betting here, Mike? Jamie Donaldson 10s, Victor Dubuis on 12, Thomas Bjorn 14s. Of those three?
Bjorn. Yeah, he plays very well here, obviously.
Yeah, winner two of the last 3 years. I nearly went for Jamie Donaldson. I expect him...
At 10-1?
I almost did. I think he's... If
he's value at 10-1, Rory McIlroy is the best bet of all time at 9-2 in the US.
In the US,
because he's different league to Donaldson.
Oh, he is different league to Donaldson. That feels different quality to this one though as well.
It is, but McIlroy, I couldn't have Jamie Donaldson at 10-1.
I'd play him over Bjorn. I would play him over Bjorn. I think Bjorn's obviously got quality form around here. Two wins in the last 3 years, but Donaldson's got good form around here as well. A couple of top tens in his last three starts at the venue, and that win last time out, I think that will have released all the pressure that he was under having to qualify for the European Ryder Cup side. I'm not playing him at tens, but of those three at the top of the betting, I'd be a Donaldson fan over a Bjorn.
Well, I wouldn't back any of them.
No,
if that's what you're asking, but. You know, of the three, I think Bjorn's course record is phenomenal, and therefore I would go for him. It's an interesting to see how Donaldson does react to that win in Czechoslovakia, or the Czech Masters, should I say. He's transformed his game in recent years. I'm not a massive fan of him personally. I wonder how long he'll stay at the top, but good luck to him, and I hope he plays well in the Ryder Cup.
Yeah, me too. Of the others, bigger prices, honourable mentions, Mike, were there any for you here?
Not a massively bigger price. Both Jimenez and Wiesberger would catch my eye. Wiesberger maybe needs a bit more experience here, but his bad Sunday last weekend ruined his chance there. I don't know what he was doing there, but Jimenez plays very well here, doesn't he? 20-1 though at his age, that's just enough to leave it for me. Much bigger price, if that's the question you're asking, I would say, I mention this guy every week nearly, Maximilian Kiefer.
Yeah.
Again, maybe not enough experience. Lee Slattery caught my eye. This course has produced a decent finish or two for him in the past. And at 125s, he might give people a bit of a run for their money. Anyone catch your eye?
Max Kiefer is interesting. I'd have him definitely on the radar. 125-1, Maximilian Kiefer. He had a good debut here last year, Kiefer. I like Broberg a lot, 50-1. But again, the experience factor around here. He's only played here a couple of times and missed the cut on one occasion, but he snuck into a top 20 finish last week, Broberg, and just 50-1, just a little bit too short, I think, given that he is lacking in experience. This is a better field than it was last week, so maybe him in that lineup. Broberg at 50 is the one that just missed out, I suppose.
The number of players that you'd look at, and just as they're a bit short in the market. I mean, Danny Willett would be thereabouts. 25 just looks short, you know. I'd say that all the top three in the market are very short. So look a little bit bigger price and see what happens. Carlton, I'd have liked a bit bigger than 25s. If I was to have a headline in the event, actually, it probably would be the one I mentioned last, CM. I think he's a good each way bet.
50-1, Marcel CM. Let's move on. Let's have a look at the BMW Championship, which is the third event in the FedEx Cup playoffs. And Rory McIlroy is 9-2 favourite. Adam Scott in the betting at 12-1. Jason Day is 16s, Justin Rose is 20s, Ricky Fowler and Sergio Garcia both 22s, 25-1 Henrik Stenson and Jim Furyk, and 28s and bigger the remainder. At Cherry Hills for this year's championship, Mike, and this is a real gem, located in Colorado, classical treeline golf course, and although there isn't much to go on in the way of course form, Phil Mickelson won the US Amateur here in 1990, and the course did host the US Amateur in 2012 as well, so some of the players have got a little bit of experience here. It's a William Flynn design, and it was most famous for hosting the US Open, won by Arnold Palmer back in 1960. Jack Nicklaus was second as an amateur on that occasion. And looking through the card of the course, Mike, your score must be built on the first seven holes, because after that the course turns tough. Tight fairways, finding them is key, and apparently the rough around the greens is pretty tasty as well, so this is going to be a test for the players. I've got a feeling the leaderboard's going to be populated with accurate ball strikers this week, Mike. Tee to green going to be very important.
Yeah, that's the rationale I have as well, Dave, when you hit. I mean, we haven't seen the course, so I wasn't around to see Arnold Palmer's, believe it or not. But David Duval lives there, for example, and David Duval said the rough is quite tough there, and accuracy and hitting the greens is going to be important. So ball striking, you know, based on that, seems to be definitely. I agree with you on that.
Three picks for me.
I've got three. You go first.
Jim Furyk is my number one selection here at 25-1. The gentleman Jim back, got to be the headline. This course built for Jim Furyk, ball striker supreme. We know all about his accuracy from the tee. You're going to definitely have to be in position around here. He ranked number one in driving accuracy yet again last week, 15th in greens in regulation as well, and he was fourth in that new stat, the strokes gained tee to green stat, last week at TPC Boston. He is having an incredible season. Mentioned it on the podcast a couple of weeks ago. He just missed out on that place at the Barclays when I tipped him, but once again, bang there on Sunday on that occasion. Converting has been the problem, much publicised problem. He's failed to convert in his last eight starts when he's held either a share or the outright lead after 54 holes, which is obviously a concern. I won't bore you with his stats, but I was looking at links to... I was looking at course form from Colonial, from Copperhead, and from Harbourtown. Three venues that I think share similarities with Cherry Hills, and Jim Furyk's got the best form at those venues. 7 top 10s at Colonial. He's won at Harbour Town. Impressive record at Copperhead as well, including
this,
a win.
Is this reverse engineering, Dave? Did you see that Jim Furyk was best and then pick those courses off?
No,
was it the other way around?
It was the other way around. Right. I did have Jim Furyk on my mind when I knew this event was at Cherry Hills. I had Furyk on my mind immediately. Yeah, you could maybe call it reverse engineering.
You could. Hopefully
that link will bear fruit as the week progresses. Who knows? But last week he was out of the spotlight.
What's your basis again for those three courses? Sorry.
Because they're all tight, tree-lined golf courses where positional play is key.
Right.
Especially Copperhead, and Harbour Town's maybe a little bit tighter off the tee than this place. But all those venues, you've got to shape the ball, and I think you've got to shape the ball here at Cherry Hills. So Jim Furyk, tailor-made for this golf course, in my opinion. Top form, 25-1.
Fair call. He's playing great this year, isn't he? I've gone for a similar sort of player, but at a bigger price. Zach Johnson is my headline here. I think I was surprised to see 40-1 available for Johnson in this event, I have to say. I think it's right up his street by all accounts. Top 35, well, he's 35th of ball striking on tour. Top 10 for accuracy off the tee. Good greens in regulation. All of those stats, very, very, very solid. As we know, Zach Johnson struggles a bit when you need to be a bomber, someone who can belt it a mile off the tee. But that shouldn't be the case this week. And he's in decent form. Since the second at the John Deere, he's run up a very solid run of finishes, including a 22nd in the Barclays and a 16th in the Deutsche Bank at the weekend. So, given the only probably moderate finish amongst the lot is the 69th in the USPGA, where you did need to hit it a long way, probably wasn't suitable for him at all, really. I just think he's actually the defending champion, albeit at a different course. That shows he plays well at this time of year, if you believe in things like that. 40-1 in this field, I think Zach Johnson, I expect him to be certainly top 10, and I think he can win this.
He was the last one off my list, so he'll be the player that I don't want to win this week.
Okay.
40-1, I do like that Zach Johnson a lot. I'm going with John Sendon as my second selection here at 66-1. Sendon, like the bet a lot at the price. Sendon won at Copperhead earlier this season, and decent record at Colonial as well, and it is certainly trending in the right direction ahead of this week. Tied 22nd at the Barclays and followed that with a weekend 67-66 at the Deutsche Bank. Drove the ball brilliantly that week. Top of the greens in regulation stats as well. I thought that win at the Valspar earlier on in the season was a big moment for John Sendon. I reckon the course will set up nicely for him. He's been strong in every department this season, Sendon. So I'll go with him at 66.
Okie dokie. I might regret doing this one, but Hunter Mahan, who caused me a lot of pain when you successfully picked him last week, I'm going to give him a go here. I think this course is potentially tailor-made for Hunter Mahan with his excellent ball striking and accuracy off the tee, and the fact that he can hit it a fair way as well. So he's not alone accurate off the tee. A bit like Rory McIlroy, actually, who tips, Rory must have a massive chance this week, but if not, Hunter Mahan could be a man to step in. He did miss the cut after his win at the Barclays at the Deutsche Bank last weekend. But to be fair, that's fairly understandable, isn't it? You have a win, a great relief to him, knowing that he's probably played his way into the Ryder Cup team, which he did.
Yeah.
Big boost from Captain Tom last night, so he's been selected. And 40-1 for a man in clearly in great form. His three performances running up to the 64th in the Deutsche Bank, were 15th in the Bridgestone, 7th in the PGA. That was the painful one, and even more painful probably the win in the Barclays. But this course could be tailor-made for a banging form Hunter Mahan. 40-1, I think it's a very, very good each way price.
It was weird what Watson said last night in that press conference. He said he'll probably be going all five matches Hunter Mahan at the Ryder Cup. Weird statement to make so far before
event. Why did he say that?
We just out of the blue said, I've got a man here that's probably going to go all five matches at the Ryder Cup. Wow. Really strange. Mm. Hunter Mahan, 40-1. I'm going with, I've taken a flyer for my final pick here. Harris English is my final selection at 150-1. Start of the season, sensationally English, with a clump of top 10 finishers and a win at the Mayakoba. Not done much since, a tied 7th at the Travellers. But I think he's so talented, he's not going to be out of the spotlight for long. And 150-1 I thought was a good price. He likes these old-style golf courses, Harris English. He said previously that he likes to play tree-lined golf courses where you have to shape the ball. Likes playing around Hilton Head and Colonial. Recent form's not good at all, so it is really a flyer, Harris English. But he's a quality player. And I thought 150-1 in a reduced field, just 69 of them this week, was worth a play. So I'm going Harris English to bounce back to something like his best form this week at 150s.
Who's pulled out? Someone pulled out?
Just Dustin Johnson. Still.
Oh, right. They don't promote.
So he would still have been in the top 70, despite not having played the first two FedEx Cup
events. Okay, say no more. My third pick is Billy Horschel, who played ever so well for 71 holes in the Deutsche Bank at the weekend. They made a complete horlicks of the final hole. You see that shot?
Yeah, it was a shocker.
Terrible, wasn't it?
I think he had 212 or something like that. He must have only flown 160 yards.
He got that one wrong, didn't he? And that could play on his mind, let's be clear on this. But rather surprisingly, given how well he played there and the fact that he's a supreme ball striker, he's 66-1 in a 69 runner field, which strikes me as very, very good value if he's head right. I thought he played very well. Other than Ogilvy, who was obviously cheering on, the one who I thought played the best of the leading contenders was Horschel. He was hitting some lovely shots and just, had every chance going down the last and just made a complete mess of it, obviously. So, top 20 for driving accuracy, 4th on tour for greens in regulation, 3rd for ball striking. If he can put like he did last week, where he put it very decently indeed, I expect Billy Horschel to be there or thereabouts. His last 8 American events, he's finished in the top 25 in 5 of them. So, and he's been building to a little bit of a crescendo. His form's getting better and better. So, he did miss the cut in the Barclays, to be fair, but that second in the Deutsche Bank caught my eye. I really thought he played well. And the caveat that, you know, you'd have to be slightly concerned that there could be a bit of collateral damage after that. It was an awful shot on the 72nd hole, but you can't rule a guy out on one shot. Otherwise, his game is made, I think, for this course.
I like the way he spoke afterwards as well. He seemed to brush it off relatively quickly and focused on the positives from that round and how well he'd struck the ball from tee to green rather than dwelling on that one bad shot on the 72nd.
He really hit the ball well, I thought. So I'm more than happy to give Billy Horschel a go at 66s.
Okay, Mike. Honourable mentions. Who came closest for you?
Well, I've mentioned Rory McIlroy already. You know, there was a temptation to have a really decent bet on him at 9-2 because he's, you know, all the stats I've been mentioning throughout this, he's right at the top of every single one of them. And really, he probably should have won on Sunday in some ways where he got himself in a really good position after the first 3 rounds. And just, it didn't quite happen for him, did it? But he's still just looking very, very, very strong. So I was tempted by him. What do you think of his chances?
Yeah, I think he's got a great chance. I just wonder whether it looks a little bit of a quirky venue. I just wonder whether it's not quite to his taste in terms of getting the driver out of the bag. And he's driving the ball so well at the moment, though. It looks like he could thread the eye of the needle at the moment.
It does.
It really does. He drove the ball brilliantly on Sunday, I thought.
Yeah.
And his iron play let him down, and his putting let him down a little bit as well. He commented on that after the round, that his putting wasn't quite as good as it has been recently. I just wonder whether he might miss this one and then nail the Tour Championship and win the FedEx Cup.
Yeah, it's very possible.
Week.
Yeah. I mean, the fact that no one's played the course before, he could argue the 92 is, you know, because of that unfathomable, maybe isn't value, but equally, no one's played the course, so they're all on a level playing field. And if it's a level playing field, he's very likely to win at the moment, isn't he?
Yeah,
would be my view on that. So he really did, really thought long and hard about McIlroy. He just seems to have that tiger mentality in his head from a few years ago. And I wouldn't be at all surprised to see him win. Other than that, I have to say there wasn't. Ogilvy could play well again, and Webb Simpson, who I tipped last week, could play well. But I just he's flattering to deceive a little bit. But it wouldn't surprise me if Simpson ran well this
week.
Yeah,
I think it's a nice course for Simpson, this one. He's 40-1. A couple of guys have got a little bit of course form, haven't they? Jordan Spieth played here in the amateur, and Hideki Matsuyama's been here as well, but not much to go on. We don't know how the venue's going to play this week, so it's tough.
They played here, but Matsuyama got beaten in
the
first round,
didn't he?
So when I'd heard he played here, he's someone I have on my mind to have a decent finish to the season. But his greens and regulation stats aren't amazing, and he might have played here, but he didn't play here for very long.
No, indeed. Graham McDowell, it'd be interesting to see how he goes this week. He's 40-1. He's just had... he's just had his first child, hasn't he?
Yep.
Oh, his wife's just had
first
child.
Was his wife.
He's been putting on a little bit of weight recently. He's 40-1, Graham McDowell. Might come a little bit too soon for him. What about the guys just in behind McIlroy, just before we recap the picks then? Scott Day, Rose, Fowler, Garcia, any of those tempting at all?
Well, Jason Day again had a moderate Sunday, didn't he? He was well in contention. Finished seventh, so his form figures are 15-2-7 in the last three events. Not that bad, is it? But I'd probably just slightly take a berth on him. Scott, I'm never a fan of his at those prices.
12-1.
Too short.
Justin Rose maybe out of those guys at 20-1. He had a rest last week at least, and we don't know how that's going to affect. Because it's quite a grueling schedule, isn't it? With that event just finishing on a Monday, then you've got to get ready for this event on the Thursday.
Straight into it, aren't they? That's a very good point. That, you know, it's different to usual, isn't it? They're straight back into the Monday finish, and it's a Thursday start here. This week is unusual. Matt Kuchar would have had a good chance, but I just with the off-field, his caddy's wife and things like that. Passing away, that's clearly going to affect him, you know, one would imagine. So otherwise I'd have quite fancied him, but you know, he's got a lot on his head and mind, I would guess.
Okay, Mike, have we got a free lunch bet this week? I don't want to railroad you in like usual. I'll put up Sendon against Mahan.
Sending against Mahan. Yeah, I'll go for that one.
Yeah, happy with that.
Yeah, I'm happy with that. Well, I'm getting a bit of a price.
You are. I do like Sendon this week to I think consistency. I think he's consistent Sendon, so I like him to finish up.
Mahan is too, though. Yes, I'm more than comfortable with that.
It's a fair one, isn't it?
Yeah, that, you know, you've been fair there.
Sendon versus change. Mahan is the free lunch bet then. Let's recap the picks then, Mike, starting off with yours in Europe.
Yeah, I'm having a point each way on all my three picks in both events this week. Robert Carlsen at 25-1, Matteo Manassero at 40s, and Marcel CM at 50s.
I'm going with Bradley Dredge at 40s, Tommy Fleetwood at 40s as well. Point each way on those two.
And in the BMW, rather, same, a point each way again on all. Zach Johnson at 40s, Hunter Mahan at 40s, and Billy Horschel at 66.
I'm going to up my stake with Jim Furyk and try and at least land the each way. 1.5 points each way, Jim Furyk at 25s, and a point each way, John Sendon at 66. Point each way, Harris English at 150-1. That is really a flyer because he's been pretty desperate recently.
I'm surprised you picked him. He's been badly out of form. Hasn't
he has been badly out of form. I'm hoping he should have been in the Ryder Cup team. The start to the season he made after 10-11 weeks of the season, you'd think if you were picking the Ryder Cup team there, he'd have been legitimately fourth or fifth name on the list, and he's missed out. Hopefully that missing out, that will give him as the Americans say, a kick in the pants.
Well, I'm hoping that for Manassero, exactly the same thing, Dave, who couldn't have expected to pick, don't get me wrong. But just those players should be getting in by now. You know, Manassero should be playing Ryder Cup golf. He's that good.
Yeah.
So I'm just hoping that he gets his head together and really kicks on now. So maybe English is another one. I hear what you're saying.
I'm looking forward to getting stuck into the Ryder Cup in a few weeks' time. We'll give you a full preview of that before the event at Glen Eagles, which starts at the end of September. Remember, you can follow us on Twitter, folks, as well, at D Kellner and at M Grenham. Check out Golf Twitter Tipster as well, at Golf Twit Tipster. Thank you for tuning in this week, and we'll be back for more golfing action next week. It's been a pleasure, folks.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.